Good morning. We're continuing our series in 1 Corinthians. And as we've just heard from Joseph, eagerly desire the greater gifts that are for the common good so that the body of Christ might be built up. The body of Christ. This morning, we're going to focus on the body of Christ, unity in diversity with equality. The body of Christ. What even is it? What does it mean? How does it function? What's significant? What's different? Surprising? Life-changing? And as we dig into the subject of the body of Christ, let me remind you, let me urge you, don't forget about the gifts of the Spirit. Don't forget about the gifts. All of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 goes together. The gifts of the Spirit are given to build up the body of Christ. And the body of Christ functions together in the Spirit. Jesus calls us to be alive. To be fully alive in Him and together to use the gifts of the Spirit to function in power as the body of Christ. One body, many parts, with all parts being equal. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God this morning. We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. There's Bibles at the back. Feel free to borrow one. And feel free to take one if you need a Bible or if you want to give a Bible away to someone. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. It seems to me there's some playfulness in this passage. I mean, it's like the eye and the hand almost get into a fight. I wonder if the elbow had to break it up. And this playfulness reminds me of the time I was teaching a music class, and I was talking about correct finger placement on an instrument. But my lesson was not going well. I was losing the attention of the kids. Go figure. I thought the subject was riveting. Anyway, I thought, I need some help here. I need Mr. Thumb.
Hello there, boys and girls. I'm Mr. Thumb. I'd like to tell you I cover the back hole of a recorder like that.
Wow, thanks, Mr. Thumb, for helping us out.
No problem, Mr. Richards.
Anyway, the class loved Mr. Thumb. I had their full attention. But I'm thinking, I don't want to talk like this for half an hour. Goodbye, Mr. Thumb. I start talking in my regular voice. Then the whole class together starts chanting, Mr. Thumb, Mr. Thumb. So much for my lesson. Anyway, I hope we don't lose focus because of the playfulness. I believe it serves the purpose of emphasizing the importance of what is being said. We'll be looking at unity, diversity, and equality in the body of Christ. And what do we mean when we say the body of Christ? As we know, 1 Corinthians is a letter. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a specific group of people. And as we just read, chapter 12, verse 27, Paul reminds those people that you are the body of Christ, every one of you. Who did Paul write the letter to? Let's go back to the beginning, chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, but there's more, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. The body of Christ is the people of God, those who have called on the name of Jesus, those who embrace and follow Jesus as Lord. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God invites you to call on the name of Jesus, to experience freedom, life to the full, abundant and eternal. God invites you to come home to him. The body of Christ is the church, not a building, but a people reconciled to God through Christ, a people in Christ, the body of Christ. Now let's make it personal. If you have put your faith in Jesus, you are a part of the body of Christ. You, me, us, all of us, we are the body of Christ. Isn't that humbling? There's a sense of mystery about Christ and the church, a profound mystery, according to Ephesians 5:32. But there's also a sense of reality. We need each other. We don't function independently. We can't go around thinking that we are better than each other. We can't go around thinking that we're less than each other. All the parts matter. Every one. And all the parts form one and only one body. Our passage emphasizes that there is one body. The church, the body of Christ, is one body. We're more united than at times is comfortable. What does it mean for us to be one body, the body of Christ? What is some day-to-day practical stuff? Here's a couple ideas from me. I hope you also come up with your own. Life groups will be talking about that. Better yet, we can share and refine our ideas together. So that is one of my ideas, that we should accept wise counsel and instruction from each other. Obviously, we test and weigh it by the Spirit and the Word, but we should be open to and actually seek comments and viewpoints from each other. I also think being one body means we need to move in the same direction. And I believe our core values really help in this area. Not just knowing them, although that does help, but living them out together. Here are our core values: transformative prayer, prophetic worship, joyful obedience, radical generosity, mutual hospitality, missional equipping, and intergenerational ministry. I encourage you, pray and ask God to lead you in using your gifts of the Spirit in one or more of these areas. I'll share a small example of how the body of Christ can work through the Spirit to move in the same direction. I knew that prayer for Alpha was essential. When I was setting and planning for Alpha, and the training videos for Alpha explained that running Alpha without prayer is like a kid opening a Christmas present on Christmas and there's no batteries in there. And before Alpha started, long before, different people had been praying on different occasions, which was awesome, but it was also on my heart to have a specific Alpha prayer team. And people had even come to me about this. But honestly, in the summer, I just hadn't gotten around to actually organizing something and making sure a prayer team was in place. And then I found out that a small group of people had been coming to this building on Friday nights. They didn't even have keys to get in. They prayed outside for Alpha weeks before it even began. That's unity in the body of Christ. That's the Spirit at work. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Ephesians 4:4-6 puts it this way. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. May we grow in unity together. May we walk in our collective identity as the body of Christ. One body. One body, many parts. There's unity and diversity. There's unity in the diversity. As we fully embrace our unity, our oneness in Christ, we can also fully celebrate our diversity. One body, many parts. Diversity means we are uniquely designed by our loving Creator. We don't all have the same gifts, and that's a good thing. The body is made of many parts that are designed to function together. How crazy would it be if your whole body was an eye or an ear? It would be silly. And it's just as silly to think that we should all be the same, that we should all have the same gifts, that we should all be doing the exact same thing to serve in God's kingdom. What if everyone in this church was a greeter at the front door? 200 greeters! I mean, it would be hard to even get in the door, and somebody new would be really freaked out. But having no greeter at the door, no welcoming face, no kind words upon arrival, that would also not be good. We need different people using different gifts as directed by the Spirit in order for the body to function properly. That's how the body of Christ works. That's how God designed it. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. This is God's design, God's plan, God's purpose. And He designs with beauty, creativity, and love. So what's your part? What's your part here at Oceanside Community Church? Perhaps you're already serving in a number of areas. That's great, unless you're spread too thin or your service consistently lacks joy. Perhaps you're trying to do too much or trying to serve in different areas from the ones that God intends for you. I believe passion and joy are hallmarks of serving God as we are led by the Spirit. Or, on the flip side, perhaps God is calling you into service, inviting you into more. The Spirit is leading you into something new, something exciting, something that requires courage. Our unity in diversity goes beyond Sundays. The church gathers together and the church scatters, going into the world to participate in God's mission. Let's participate in each other's lives during the week as the Spirit leads. Let us build up the body of Christ and connect with others in our community, sharing God's love. Perhaps your gift of hospitality can strengthen someone this week, or God will give you a timely word of encouragement, or you'll be in a situation where mercy is needed, perhaps discernment, healing, teaching. As the body of Christ, we need each other. Each and every person is equally important, equally needed. That's how the body of Christ functions. We should never think or say that we don't need every part of the body. There's no place for, I'm better than you, or I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. I'll ask the music team to come forward. We need each other, and we're called to have equal concern for each other. No division. Equal concern. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. How can we know if someone is hurting or if someone is honored unless we are invested in each other's lives? The body of Christ together feels the pain and the joy of every part. That's love. And that's appealing. That's a witness to those outside the church. The body of Christ, unity in diversity with equality.